United States Trustee. Assistant U.S. Trustee Bruce Gehring appears on behalf of the United States Trustee, and Greg Graycheck appears for debtors. As I said, the matter before the court is the United States Trustee's motion for judgment on the pleadings with respect to his motion to dismiss for abuse pursuant to 11 U.S.C. Section 707B. Having reviewed the party's submissions, I am now prepared to issue my ruling on the United States Trustee's motion. In considering a motion for judgment on the pleadings, the court must accept all facts pled by the non-moving party as true and draw all reasonable inferences from the facts in favor of the non-movement. Waldron v. Boeing Company, 388 F3rd 591-593, 8th Circuit, 2004, citing Franklin High Yield Tax-Free Income Fund versus County of Martin, 152 F3rd 736-738, 8th Circuit, 1998, which in turn is citing Lion Oil Co. v. Tosco Corp., 90 F3rd 268-270, 8th Circuit, 1996. The court may grant the motion only where the moving party has clearly established that no material issue of fact remains, and the moving party is entitled to judgment as a matter of law. Waldron, 388 F3rd at 593, quoting Potthoff v. Morin, 245 F3rd 710 at 715, 8th Circuit, 2001, in turn citing National Car Rental Systems, Inc. versus Computer Associates International, Inc., 991 F2nd 426 at 428, 8th Circuit, 1993. The court may dismiss a Chapter 7 case if it finds that the granting of relief would be an abuse of the provisions of Chapter 7, 11 U.S.C. Section 707B1. In considering under Section 707B1 whether the granting of relief would be an abuse of the provisions of Chapter 7, in which the presumption in Section 707B2A, Roman numeral I, does not arise or is rebutted, the court shall consider whether the totality of the circumstances of the debtor's financial situation demonstrates abuse, 11 U.S.C. Section 707B3. Like its predecessor, which did not define substantial abuse, Section 707B3 does not define abuse. However, it has long been the law in the Eighth Circuit that a Chapter 7 debtor's ability to fund a Chapter 13 plan is the primary factor to be considered in determining whether granting relief would be substantial abuse. In Ray Walton, 866 F2nd 981 at 984 to 985, 8th Circuit, 1989. The Court of Appeals has consistently followed this premise. Stewart v. Cook, 109 F3rd 1285 at 1286, 8th Circuit, 1997. Fonder v. United States, 974 F2nd 996 at 999, 8th Circuit, 1992. And United States Trustee v. Harris, 960 F2nd 74 at 76 to 77. 8th Circuit, 1992. As I have said on numerous prior occasions, if the ability to fund the Chapter 13 plan constituted substantial abuse under Section 707B3's predecessor, I can think of no reason why that same ability should not also constitute the adjectiveless abuse now required under Section 707B3. And as I have also said on numerous prior occasions, this is especially true in light of the fact Section 707B no longer includes a presumption in favor of granting the debtor relief under Chapter 7. In his motion for judgment on the pleadings, the United States Trustee correctly identified the key issue in this case, whether debtors' 401k contributions and their 401k loan payments should be considered and disallowed in determining debtors' ability to pay. Debtors argue since a debtor's 401k contributions and 401k loan payments would be excluded from his disposable income in a Chapter 13 case, pursuant to Section 541B7 and Section 1322F, respectively, such contributions and loan payments should not be considered in determining his ability to pay in a Chapter 7 case. I disagree. Congress exemptions and 401k loan payments in determining their ability to pay under Section 707B when I could not consider those contributions and loan payments in determining their disposable income under Section 1325B is nonsensical, as the court in In re Lavin 424BR558, Middle District, Florida, 2010, which was cited by debtors, suggests. Debtors have the ability to pay their creditors. On the face of their amended Schedules I and J, incorporated by reference in their response to the United States Trustee's motion to dismiss, debtors have monthly net income of $889.05. According to debtors, this does not account for debtors' 401k contributions or their 401k loan payments. Even if their monthly medical insurance payment increases by $300 per month, as debtors claim it will on January 1, debtors would still have monthly net income of $589.05. This would enable them to fund a meaningful Chapter 13 plan. See In re McNary, bankruptcy number 0850120, slip opinion at 5, Bankruptcy District, South Dakota, July 18, 2008. Granting debtors relief would therefore be an abuse of the provisions of Chapter 7. Consequently, I am granting the United States Trustee's motion for judgment on the pleadings. Mr. Grechek, in debtors' response to the motion to dismiss, there was a suggestion that if I were to grant the United States Trustee's motion, the debtors would prefer to voluntarily convert to Chapter 13 rather than have the case dismissed. If that's still their desire, I would entertain an oral motion to that effect.
As far as I know, that's still their desire. They have not expressed.